from the Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
And we're on. Hey, Rick.
Hey, only 4 minutes tonight of technical difficulties. I love it. That's the best.
We are getting better. That's because Cheryl is the shiz.
She is the shizny adoozit.
Oh, wow. I don't even think I could repeat that one. She was the shizny what's it?
The shizny adoozit. You can't repeat it, Karen. Forget about it.
Yeah, I have never heard that one before. Gosh. A good show tonight. We are going to be talking to Kathy and Katie Christopher from NEPA Paranormal in Pennsylvania. And they're going to talk about their team and some of their methods. And they appeared on Ghost Adventures, so we'll talk to them about that. And then they have an interesting investigation that they want to talk about that involves possible communications with the spirit of Dawn DeFeo. Now, you know who Dawn DeFeo is.
Oh, absolutely. She was the girl who may have possibly had something to do with the murder of her parents before the Lutzes moved in. Maybe she didn't. You know, we'll find out. We'll let the EVP stand for themselves.
Right. So, a little maybe Amityville horror going on tonight too. So, could be an interesting show.
I love the Amityville horror case.
You know, I have to tell you, back when I read that book back when I was a teenager, a relatively young teenager because I'm not that old. And I remember reading that up in my bedroom at night and being just scared shitless. Pardon my French.
Whoa! Okay, go on.
I know, sorry. Afraid to, just afraid to turn out the lights and everything. So I was really disappointed, as I sure a lot of people are, when mm-hmm. the word of hoax started coming down the wire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think the scariest true hauntings book that I have ever read was In a Dark Place, about the Snedeker family. I mean, that and it was also dramatized on a haunting and, of course, the incredibly terrible The Haunting in Connecticut.
Oh, my God, I hated that movie.
I know. I mean, the only thing that it had to do with the case is that Dad was an alcoholic, the son had cancer, and then that was it. Everything else was just Hollywood dramatized, but usually that's how it is. Hollywood gets their hands on something that has to do with the paranormal and then completely screw it up and turn it into something it's not. But the book is great.
Okay, what's the name of the book again? I haven't read it.
It's called In a Dark Place. It's pretty awesome.
Sweet, okay. All right, so and later on in the show, Bert Coates from NWPIA, who is, of course, our good friend, is going to be joining us to talk about some of his theories. And I always enjoy talking to Bert because he has a lot of great theories. He's been investigating for about 5 years now, and some of his theories sort of fall outside of what conventional thinking is, and that's actually one of the things that I appreciate about him. So we'll be talking to Bert in a little while, too.
Well, thinking outside the box is always the way to go.
I think so, too. We don't know. We just don't know. So, right.
That's why there's no such thing as experts in this field. You can be an expert in a specific part of the field, but when it comes to the whole, forget about it.
Yep, I agree. So, the magazine came out just a few days ago, the August issue.
Yes, it was excellent.
Yeah, and you wrote an article on the five coolest
haunted places.
Okay, so paraphrase.
Paraphrase, basically, I just, took like the, my five favorite haunted places, including one that's right here in my own backyard, Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. Actually, it's not really in my backyard. It's about 30, 35 minutes south of the great city of Chicago, Illinois. And, for years, people have been saying that, this is the most haunted cemetery in the Western Hemisphere, if not the world. And I myself have been out there numerous times. Some really great EVPs. Of course, we go over the Villisca axe murder house. And, everybody knows what happened there. The Moore family was, brutally murdered by somebody. I think it was back in 1912. And ever since then, anybody who goes into this house has been, you know, experiencing cold spots, lots of spirit energy, voices of children. Of course, you know, the Moores had several children who were, you know, axe murdered as well. And,
that our very own Chad Wilson, our publisher, has actually investigated at Villisca?
That's awesome. How did that go for Chad?
Hey, Cheryl.
Hey.
Hey, how did that go for Chad?
It was pretty interesting. It went pretty well. He met up with a group of fellow paranormal enthusiasts at the Villisca Axe Murder House, and they did an overnight investigation, and they had some real interesting results. In fact, maybe one of these days we can talk them into coming on and talking about some of the evidence they collected.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Now would Chad say that this is mostly residual or stone tape theory, as they call it, you know, across the pond, or or is this an intelligent haunt?
One of the things he told me about was getting some fluctuation from their EMF detectors, along with another anomaly at the same time. And right now I'm trying to remember what it was, but they caught two different things at the same time. And I think he believed that it was intelligent, but, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I think maybe he also said that there seemed to be some residual stuff going on there.
Yeah.
There was nothing totally concrete that would, you know, blow your mind, but there was these little things here and there that I thought were compelling after he told me about them.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some really convincing orbs, you know, pictures of orbs in this case. Now, I know that orbs...
Wait,
with a
that's
lot
an
of...
oxymoron.
No.
Orbs, jumbo shrimp.
Well, hold on a second. According to physics, okay, the simplest shape for energy to take is a sphere. So when I'm talking about, like, a really convincing spirit energy, or, you know, as commonly called an orb, that it actually shows movement. It doesn't look like dust, which is always pitted and, you know, just looks like the moon or whatever. These are smooth, larger than the normal dust or precipitation, and it shows movement and its own light source.
Right.
Rather than reflection. So I think that is the difference between, you know, dust and precipitation, or, you know, an actual spirit energy.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what were the other? So you had Villisca, you had the cemetery. What else did you have in your article?
Did I have Alcatraz in there?
You didn't. You had the White House, you had Villisca, Bachelor's Grove, Zombie Road, and there was one more. It was Stone's Public House.
Oh, Zombie Road. You know, I know people who have been there, and they say, although a lot of it centers around urban legend, I mean, you actually do go out there and you see shadow people, hear voices. You know, of course, those voices could be animals. It's a really heavily wooded area, so, you know, but it's possible that, you know, people are experiencing some real paranormal activity. And as far as the White House goes, you know, like I wrote at the end of the White House one, you know, if the president is looking for anybody, you know, and if anybody is listening tonight, you know, President Obama, I voted for you. I love you. I will find the best possible evidence for you. So, you know
I have an in there.
I know you have an in there. Who is this person that you have an in?
It's a guy I went to school with. He's one of the higher level members of, he's not in the cabinet or anything, but he's one of the higher level staffers at the White House. So, you know, somehow that's what I told Cheryl that. She said, oh, see if you can get him to get President Obama to do an interview about the paranormal. But, you know,
hey, why not?
I just think that they have better things to do. However, I will keep that in mind. I'll keep you both in mind. And, you know, I am in touch with the guy still. So,
well, after all, I mean, you know, President Obama is kind of a geek. You know, he reads Conan comic books. And so, you know, I think that he would actually be kind of open to the idea of, you know, having a fellow geek such as myself and others come in there and, you know, try and talk to the spirit of President Lincoln.
Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be
that
so
would
cool.
be awesome.
That's right. That'd be just wicked cool, I tell you. Well, it was a good article, and I hope that people sign in and read it, Rick, because there are a lot of other good things in there, too. As a matter of fact, I wrote an article about the Ouija board, and what I wrote about was more the history of the Ouija board with, a few little theories tossed in there and some personal experiences. I'd never used a Ouija board before. I somehow missed that part of my youth. But I tried one a few weeks ago and had a really interesting sort of thought-provoking personal experience with it, and I talk about that in the Ouija board.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Gertrude, right?
It was up at Wellington, which is a place that I've investigated regularly. It's sort of been an obsession of mine. As a matter of fact, I wrote that book about it, Avalanche Spirits, the Ghost of Wellington. So I spent a little bit of time up there. As a matter of fact, I'll be up there this weekend. And we were experimenting with a Ouija board, and it wasn't answering for the other people. And so two of us who'd never used one before and were highly skeptical of it sat down to use it. And barely touched it to the point that you could shine a light under our fingertips and see the light shining under our fingertips. Barely touched it. And it started to move as we started to ask questions. And there's this lady who sings in the parking lot that we get EVPs of up there. And so we got it to spell out. It said that somebody was there. They were from Wellington, and it spelled out Gert. And I asked, "Do you mean Gertrude?" And it said, "Yes." And I said, "Are you the one who sings in the parking lot?" And it said, "Yes." Well, a while ago, I wrote another article for the magazine, and I had my very first psychic reading ever, which is something I also had never done before. And in this article, the psychic who's a medium had started coming up with all of these people from Wellington, and the whole reading wasn't about my dead grandma. It was about people from Wellington.
Oh, okay.
And so I went back, and I had in my mind that the person that I asked in that reading, who is the person who sings in the parking lot, and the name I had in my mind was somebody named Sarah Covington, who was one of the passengers on the train that was involved in this avalanche up at Wellington.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, well, it's Sarah Covington, and I can't even for the life of me tell you how I got to that point, but that's what I believed it was. Came home, went back, and looked through my notes about that psychic reading, and I asked her, who is the person who sings in the parking lot, and she said, I get a really religious vibe. She calls out Gertrude.
See, now, I always found that kind of strange. I mean, with people who come from a more, let's say, Christian ideology concerning religion and life after death and all that, I kind of wonder how a person like that would deal with, oh my God, I'm not in heaven and I'm stuck here on the earth plane. Now, on the reverse side, I've actually dealt with spirits before that will refuse to pass on because they feel that they've done something so evil and so wrong that they're afraid to go to hell. I kind of wonder how the other side of that coin would deal with that.
Boy, I don't know. That's a good topic. That's a whole show topic, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I think so too.
Yeah, it's a good question. Hey, Rick, we have to go to break.
All right.
So the magazine, if you want to read the magazine, if you go to paranormalunderground.net, you need to be signed up as a member, but it's free. So you can click on the link with the magazine. It'll lead you through the sign up and all sorts of other good stuff. Rick and I aren't the only two who wrote for the magazine. So we will be back. Oh, go ahead.
Full of paranormal goodness. So go ahead.
Paranormal goodness. That's right. Creamy paranormal goodness.
I need a bib every time I read it.
So we will be right back, and when we come back, we're going to have Kathy and Katie Christopher from NEPA Paranormal.
Can't wait.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ZTalkRadio.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio. This is Rick, and I am here with Karen as always. Hello, Karen.
Hello. So I liked what you were saying. Rick and I sit and gab on break, and hopefully you never hear the things we say. But Rick was saying on break that whenever anybody mentions about the internet radio shows.
Oh, I was just saying that it's kind of funny whenever somebody says that this is like, you know, a radio show, that it's always like, this is internet radio. Like there's, you know, quotes at the end and at the beginning and at the end, you know.
The air quotes, radio.
Yeah, air quotes. Radio show. Well, all right. Tonight we have, just like last week, we have some more paranormal investigators who are joining us tonight. We have Kathy and Katie Christopher from NEPA Paranormal. How are you guys?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. We're really good. Welcome to the show. You know, paranormal goodness, creamy paranormal goodness.
Creamy.
With bib.
Yes, we just gave ourselves a new tagline right before you guys came on. We've decided that we're Paranormal Underground Radio of creamy paranormal goodness. What do you think?
That's awesome. Sounds like a really tasty candy bar.
In a way, it sounds a little bit dirty, but, you know, we'll keep that for off the air.
I like so, dirty.
So, okay. With
oh,
that,
was that out loud? Sorry.
Keep it clean, Karen. We don't want to use the dump button with you tonight. I have friends listening.
I am not going there.
Do I have to find the buzzer? The bleeper, whatever you call it.
I want the bleep.
Okay. The speed round. All right, back to Kathy and Katie.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay. Now, Kathy and Katie, you guys have worked literally dozens of investigations in and around the Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania area. That's where you guys are from, correct?
That's correct.
And it says here that you guys have also been on an episode of Ghost Adventures. You know, how was that? And is Zach Bagan really as huge as he likes to make himself appear on the show?
Or does he just wear really tight
t-shirts? Yes, he is that huge, and it's beautiful.
Is it a good thing to look at? You know, I used to think, oh my gosh, he's so cute. And then my nephew grew up and looks exactly like him, and I just can't go there anymore.
Can you introduce Katie?
Yeah, my nephew's 20.
Oh, that's a little young. She's horrible. I'm sorry.
All right. Down, girls. Down, down, down. That's all right. I feel the same way about Chris Williams, so it's all right.
Oh, okay.
You notice which one of us did ask the is Zach Bagans hot question, though. It was not me.
Okay.
No, it was Chad. So, moving right along. So you guys are going to be sharing with us, 7 EVPs tonight, correct?
That's correct.
And one of those is a possible spirit communication with the Don DeFeo of the infamous pre-Amityville Horror, when Ronnie DeFeo went completely ape and killed his entire family. And apparently Don DeFeo was his sister, and apparently she spoke to a client of yours, and you guys actually got a few really awesome EVPs off this. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It was a really, really interesting investigation. We had a lot of fun with it.
Let's talk about it, because I'm really curious how Don DeFeo wound up in an investigation in Pennsylvania.
You know, it's funny. When I first got the call, it's the same thing I said to myself, you know. You're talking about the spirit of a girl who was from Long Island, New York, or Amityville, or whatever. But, you know, how in the world would she end up in Reading, Pennsylvania? And, you know, in talking to the client a little more, you know, we found out that he was from Long Island. So he was, you know, familiar with the area. He knew who she was. He's seen her in passing a couple times. And, I mean, honestly, other than that, I really have no explanation for that. I found it really hard to believe throughout the entire investigation. And then when I saw the evidence, it just kind of spoke for itself.
Now, let me ask you this, Katie and Kathy. Do you think, I don't know how you guys feel about, you know, mediums and stuff like that. I know it's like a really unpopular thing right now. But has this guy ever reported any other kind of spirit communications in the past? I mean, maybe he has, like, you know, mediumistic abilities and he's able to, you know, to channel. Or, you know, strong spirits are able to break into his psyche. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, actually, you know, it's like when I first talked to him, he said, you know, he initially really thought he was going crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's having these experiences. He said he actually never had anything like this ever happen before. He actually went to see a psychiatrist and had himself analyzed because he automatically thought he was losing it. And they all told him that, you know, it's their unique experiences, but we don't see any psychological problems with you. So,
right.
You know, this is something that was completely new for him, nothing he's ever experienced before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because sometimes, you know, people are, you know, they can be born with these special abilities, but sometimes they, you know, they come around a little bit later in life. So maybe that's what this this cat is starting to experience now.
Yeah, definitely.
And it just happened to be Don DeFeo.
You know, it's an odd situation, but, you know, when we pick up the evidence for it, it's really, you know, you kind of have to say, well, something's going on there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And well, you wrote about it in Paranormal Underground. Was it last month or the month before?
It was the June issue.
So it's in the June. The story is actually in the June issue. I think before we talk, what I'd really, really like to do is listen to the EVP. What do you think about doing that, guys?
That sounds good. Sounds good.
Cheryl, you got the EVP queued up for us?
I do. We have four, actually, from this case. And, you know, we won't give anything away beforehand, and maybe we can talk with Christy and Kathy after each is played, and they can kind of go through what happened and maybe what they think it's saying. So the first one, let's see, where did it go? It's fairly clear to me, and I'll just tell our listeners that it really helps to have a good pair of headset or earphones on or a headset, because if you're just playing this through your speakers, you might not be able to hear it as clearly, but we will turn up the volume a little bit and then hopefully that'll help. So here comes the first EVP, and it's a short one, and I believe that what you're listening for is about 11 seconds in. So here we go.
Why would you do something like that?
Not you see red?
Come on, man, don't worry about it. You know, and she came
in. Pretty tacky red?
I mean, I don't see her anymore. Okay, well, let's see what I say. She's an hour, you know. God. Nobody else. Well, she called me down in the basement. Well, she turned around and she went
to the office. It's obvious, it's saying a word.
Yeah. And so she was down there.
Did you see her?
Look at the EMF
mode. And she started to come towards me. Well, she's not going there again. She's
I thought if you have it in EMF mode, it doesn't tell us that.
Yeah.
There was a she. Yeah.
It always shows EMF.
So that was the whole clip, and in the actual EVP was about 11 seconds in. Did you guys hear anything, Karen?
I heard a whisper underneath.
I definitely heard that. It sounded like it, you know, was like Don DeFeo. I mean, is that what we were, is that what we were supposed to hear?
Let's ask Kathy and Katie.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Yep.
Actually, what we got out of it was Don is here, and. Interesting, because at the time that we caught that EVP, we were actually kind of taking five, grabbing a drink, and, you know, taking a quick bathroom break or whatever, and so you can hear so much chatter in the background, and it's just because we were, you know, taking a quick break from what we were doing, which, you know, sometimes that happens. We'll just happen to catch something when we're in the middle of a nonsense conversation.
Yeah.
But, what was really exciting to me about the EVP was, you know, when we took on the case, obviously, you know, we're trying to, you know, get an answer that a very specific person is there. So I spent a little more time than usual focusing on, you know, kind of saying, I need you to tell me your name. I have to know your name. You have to say it. And, you know, playing it back, if you listen very closely, you can actually almost hear a bit of a Long Island accent to the EVP.
I want to listen to it again. Is Cheryl?
Yes, here I am. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I want to listen to it again. You know, I get a lot of EVPs like that, you guys, where part of it's because I talk a lot. But a lot of the EVPs I get, as a matter of fact, I would say most of the EVPs I get usually come underneath conversations that we're having as opposed to informal EVP sessions.
Right.
So I know people have theories about that, like maybe they use the sound of your voice to create the sound of their voice and stuff. You guys have any theories about anything like that?
I think that's possible. I mean, sometimes I also think, like, you know, like if they're kind of nervous and a little, you know, on edge, don't know if they want to answer you right away, sometimes, you know, you might say something that triggers something and they just want to throw their opinion in.
I get that a lot, yeah, and I always have to screen it out as making sure it's not my husband first, who also likes to throw his opinion in. But
yeah, I would say the majority of our EVPs are the same way. It's usually when there's some kind of conversation going on and you hear something beneath it.
I'm so glad it's not just me.
I like to talk a lot too, though. So.
Do you guys keep your voice recorders on the entire time you're on the investigation, like the second you walk through the door, or do you, you know, break it up?
We turn them on the second we walk in, and they stay on until we leave.
Yeah, that's pretty much
I'm how that way too, yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes for hours of listening later.
Mm-hmm. It does. You know, it gives you, I mean, obviously you're leaving with a lot more footage you need to review, but, right. you know, you figure when you're doing an investigation, you want to make sure that you take every measure possible to pick up any potential evidence, you know, even if that means, you know, the half an hour that we weren't doing something, you know, we still have to review it. I know it's an extra half an hour or whatever, but, you know, if you're going to pick up something there, then that makes it totally worth it.
Well, it's kind of amazing with EVP is because it's almost as if it's an intelligent spirit, like it's doing color commentation on you, you know, like a football game or whatever. And yeah, I've actually caught EVPs where it's like, I'll be wearing like a red shirt or something, and the spirit will actually say he has a red shirt on, or the guy with the baseball cap, or you know, whatever. So
do they follow up the guy with the red shirt on by he's wearing a red shirt, he's going to die next?
No.
You know, like Star Trek. Sorry, my Trekkie geek just came out. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I don't watch Star Trek. That's for nerds.
But, and you're definitely not a nerd, Rick.
No, I'm a Star Wars guy, which makes me a geek, so.
Okay. So I want to listen to that again. So let's go ahead and listen to it once more.
Okay, would you guys like me to play the whole thing again or cut it off after we hear the EVP?
Yes, the second one you said.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, second one to work.
Frankly, why would you do something like that?
Did you see red?
Come on, don't worry about it.
Okay.
I got it. I definitely got it that time.
I totally got it that time. It was clear as day. Wow, that's really creepy.
Yeah, it is.
And sometimes the whisper ones, you know, even though I don't trust whispers, the whispers that are clear and clearly say something tend mm-hmm. to be creepier than just a voice, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, except for the ones that sound like little kids. The little kid ones totally creep me out, but...
Yeah. They make me sad. They really they do.
Me too. Heartbreaking. So, so do we have other EVPs from this same session, did you say, Cheryl?
Yes, we have three more. The next one is about 13 seconds long in total, and what we're listening for, I believe, comes about halfway in.
Okay,
here we go.
Go for it.
Hang on to that.
Okay.
Do you want a flashlight?
Was it the thing that sounded like somebody talking to a little kid or a kitty?
Yeah,
it almost sounded to me like, I love you, kitty. I'm sure that's not what it said, but that's what I heard.
Yeah, it sounded like a cat to me. Were there any cats?
Were there
cats
any cats when... there? Oh, Jinx!
Jinx, you
No, there were no cats. Okay. They actually, they had dogs, but they boarded them for the night, so they weren't there for the investigation.
And clearly, no kids there, I would imagine.
No, right? No, they don't have children.
Okay. Let's listen to it one more time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want a flashlight?
I have to tell you, before the louder part that sounds like I love you, kitty, or whatever it is, I actually hear something right before that that's fainter in the same voice. Did you hear that? Have you guys noticed that in that?
No, that I didn't notice.
And can I hear something afterwards.
Can we play it one more time?
Yes. Yeah, let's play it one more time.
Hang on to that.
Okay.
Do you want a flashlight?
You're right. Okay, so I do hear something right after. I think one of you says, okay. And then there's a minute of silence, and it's like, did you hear that time, Katie and Kathy, what I was talking about? That there's something...
You know, I didn't hear it. I have the phone speaker on, so I'm...
Oh, it's not going to come for you. You guys will have to re-listen to it and see if you hear what I'm talking about. So, Rick, did you hear your little second part?
Yeah, there is definitely so much more there than just that little, oh, you're such a pretty kitty or whatever. I mean, there's definitely something before that, and then this weird, like, hissy, you know, demonic sounding, you know, a little bit afterwards. Of course, it's not a demon, but, you know.
They're saying they hear, oh, I love you in the chat room as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I think I've heard it enough. Do you want to hear it one more time, Rick, or are we good?
No, I'm good. I definitely hear something there.
Yeah, so what do you think that is being said in that EVP, you guys?
Actually, when we listen to it, we're actually hearing Ollie Oxenfree, which is interesting because right prior to receiving that or picking up that EVP, the homeowner was actually saying, you know, I hope she comes out and talks to you guys tonight. Sometimes she likes to hide.
Oh,
and we used to say that when we were kids. Now, yeah. How old, if Dawn DeFeo was, if Dawn DeFeo was still alive, how old would she be?
Oh, geez. Now, I was talking to the math. I'm going to say she'd be in her 40s.
So she's probably about my age. I want to listen to it one more time to hear it now and see if I can, now that you've said it.
Again, you might hear a little different version now.
Yeah, okay. One more time, sure.
Yeah, then,
okay.
Yeah, okay, I can, but if it's Ollie Oxenfree, it's more like the way somebody who doesn't say it real well would say, Ollie Oxenfree, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds like there's a little breakup in between.
Yeah, interesting.
It sounds like to me, oh, I love you, kitty. So, I mean, were there, you know, okay, here's my question. If it in fact is Dawn DeFeo, do we know if the DeFeos owned any cats?
That I don't know. I would have to look for that.
I wonder if you would even be able to find that out.
Probably not, but I mean, if they owned a cat, and that's what that EVP is saying, that certainly would end a lot of, you know, give a lot of credibility towards it.
I think they owned a pig with red eyes, or am I mixing that up?
Jody.
Yeah, that's a really interesting EVP. So is there anything else you want to tell us about that EVP before we move on to the next one, you guys?
No, I mean, basically what we thought was interesting about it, again, was the fact that, you know, he had just said, you know, I hope she doesn't hide tonight. And,
yeah.
You know, when we originally picked it up, I mean, that's when I played hide and seek as a kid. You know, I'm a little younger, we never said that, so I didn't even know what it meant. And like, you know, my dad found it and he's looking at me, he's like, isn't that neat? And I'm like, I don't understand.
Oh, you mean they don't say that anymore, Ollie Oxenfree?
No, we didn't say that when we were kids. And we used to say Ollie Income Free too, but I had no idea.
What does that even mean?
I think that was when you were playing hide-and-seek and you couldn't find them.
I know, but how did that... I mean, this is totally off-topic, but how on earth did that phrase ever come to be used for Ollie Ollie Oxenfree?
I have no idea. You have to check that on, like, Wikipedia or something.
I know. I'm going to look that up now because now, you know, I'll probably forget before the show's over, but that would be kind of interesting to find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've actually heard that it's really saying Ollie Ollie all are free or out and free. It had something like that. I've actually heard that's what people
say. Ollie Ollie income free. I think that meant that I give up and I lose, you come in for free or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, basically it came from the phrase all ye outs and free, kind of similar to what Rick said. And mm-hmm. It basically lets the hiders know that they can come out without losing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the Wikipedia page for it now because, as you know, you can Wikipedia just about everything. Ollie Ollie Income Free was one. Ollie Ollie Oxen Freed. Ollie Ollie Income Frio. Allie Allie Oats Are Free.
Nice.
Oh, no, this is my favorite. Oli Oli Olsen Free. That's the Scandinavian version, apparently.
Free the Olsen twins.
All right, so I'm sorry. Let's move on to the next EVP, shall we?
Okay.
I got distracted. I do that. Sorry.
It's okay. I do too.
Okay. Let's see. This next one, again, it comes maybe about halfway in or maybe a little before halfway. And the total clip is, let's see, 25 seconds long. Oops. Sorry. Here we go. Here we go.
He would come down on the third floor. The third floor had to back when
stick his head
up the lawyer on the third floor.
Oh, no, no.
There were two main bedrooms with the rest of the servants' quarters. And whoever it is would not come down out of the third floor.
He said that was
the case.
That's
the case.
That's
the move.
I said that for a kid.
I was going to give you something. I was like,
so same voice. Oh no, no! Is that what I'm listening? What is that? What I was supposed to hear?
Exactly what it is. Yes.
Oh, that was very clear.
Was there something
what was
in there too?
Again, is that it was the same voice?
Yes.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Rick?
I was going to say, wasn't there something in there near the end too? It sounded like a similar voice. You know, something. Give me something.
That sounded like I thought that was Kathy.
Oh, okay.
Let's listen to it again.
Yeah.
Okay, let me cue it up.
Rick and I are going to find all sorts of things in your EVPs. You're going to go back and listen to all of them over again now.
Okay, here we go.
He would come down on the third floor. The third floor had to back when
stick his head
up the lawyer on the third floor.
Oh, no, no.
There were two main bedrooms with the rest of the servants' quarters. And whoever it is would not come down out of
Yeah, I think that was actually Kathy talking at the end.
Yeah, that was somebody talking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. What was the oh no no in response to something?
I mean, this one was kind of around the same time we got the other one when everybody's just kind of, you know, talking in the background. So it didn't really seem like there was, you know, anything that was being said that would have, you know, gotten that kind of a response. So I'm not sure, you know, what exactly was going on. It was just kind of weird.
But it definitely sounded like the same voice.
So I got to tell you that there is a tone in that voice that, so at the end, Kathy, is that you talking at the end where Rick hears it?
Definitely me or one of our other investigators, yeah.
There is a tone in that voice that matches the tone in the voice of the investigator at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think it was the same as the two EVPs that we picked up. We do have one girl who does have a little higher pitched voice, but nothing like.
Right. Somebody commented something very similar on the EVPs on the website, and we actually we played them for her specifically and said, you know, this is kind of higher pitched like your voice. You know, is this something you think you might have said? You know, even had her try to imitate.
Right.
EVPs and record them
right.
And play them back, and it just didn't completely match up. Plus, you know,
yeah, that's the stuff that you have to do sort of as process of elimination. I understand if you want to count something, you have to discount everything else first.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely. So, here's something interesting. I was just looking in the chat room, and you know, in the other one, the "I love you, Kitty" that we thought we heard. Somebody
right.
suggested that maybe what it said is "I love you, Katie."
Huh.
Oh.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
That's entirely
possible. I'm really going to have to put the headphones on when we're done here and re-listen to that one.
Yeah, that was a really good suggestion. I have to scroll back up in the chat room to see who made it, but whoever it was, thank you. It was Carolyn, Gettysburg Lady, suggested it. So, yeah, anyway, so that's interesting. That may be worth listening to and see, because what I heard was, "Oh, Kitty, I love you," or "I love you, Kitty," or something. But mm-hmm. maybe
I'm gonna have to
maybe
pull the headphones back out for that one.
Katie, maybe you are loved.
That would be nice.
I used to have a ghost that would sit down on my bed and whisper in my ear, "I love you." So, you know, warm fuzzy feeling. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird? Have you guys ever had where you've had EVPs where you hear your own name? It's always a very disconcerting sort of feeling.
We have, I think, a handful of our investigators have had it done. We actually, an interesting story, my father, who's one of our co-founders, he grew up in a home that had very severe activity, which kind of sparked his interest in all of this. And once, after we started our group, my grandmother still owned the home at the time and gave us the opportunity to go back and investigate the home. So, you know, basically the place he grew up in was completely terrorized, and, you know, he finally got to go in with the equipment and check out, and we caught an EVP that was speaking directly to him that said he lived here.
Oh.
So it didn't call him out by name, but it very specifically recognized him from growing up in the home.
That's cool.
Yeah, it actually, when I heard it the first time, it gave me chills.
Yeah.
Those are the best EVPs in the world, the ones that you hear and you go, huh.
Yeah, they are. They make everything worth it.
Don't they? They make the hours and hours and hours of sitting there listening to all the stupid things you say to other people when you're on an investigation totally worthwhile.
Yeah,
I'm not implying that you say stupid things on investigations. I'm implying that I say stupid things on investigations.
You know, for me to say someplace is haunted, all it really takes is that one EVP that's clear, doesn't need any subtitles or anything like that for it, for me to say, yep, this place is haunted. That's all it takes for me.
Yeah, that's actually some of the singing EVPs that we've gotten up at Wellington are the ones that actually made me think, yeah, okay, there's something going on here, because to hear a ghostly voice singing that you didn't hear when you were there,
that's really cool.
Yeah. Very, very. So was that the last of the Don DeFeo ones?
We have one more that's about 30 seconds long, and again, you hear something halfway through. This one's a little harder to hear, but you might be able to make it out.
Cool.
Here we go.
So was it the same voice in the background kind of going, ew, or something like that?
Yeah, it was definitely some kind of, like a drawn-out voice. I'm actually, I apologize, I'm kind of blanking here. I knew what the other three were, but I honestly can't remember what this one's saying, and I'm so sorry.
This one, I have
like a maw or a moan or something in the back.
This one I have labeled as the word love. A drawn out love, but yeah, I don't, you know, it's hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's something there, though. You want me to play it one more time and then I'll cut it off right after we hear the EVP? Okay, here we go.
Perfect.
Please do.
That would not be it.
Wow, she's a rock star, too.
That would not be.
Woo! Do you guys remember capturing that EVP?
No, that one I don't remember.
let me try that one again.
Modern spirit.
Let's see here. If I can
That's
get
for the future when
up.
Nerds are playing, they die playing rock band or something.
Okay, wait, let me run through this one. I can't seem to get it out of my deck, so I'll play this promo that I accidentally dragged in there, and then I can get the other one up and going, hopefully. So, sorry about that.
Oh, wait, so you're going to play a promo?
No. I'm muted it so that you guys didn't have to hear it. But I've got to play it to get it out of the deck, because for some reason I can't seem to get rid of it. So
I thought it was kind of funny that you pulled that music up, because I was talking about getting EVPs of singing. So
yeah. All right, I think I have it ready to go. Let's try this again. Okay, there it was at the end.
That's definitely what I heard. That one's a tough one, because there's a lot of other stuff going on in there, and you guys are away from the. You must have set your recorder down and moved away from it.
Yeah, we had a couple of them going. We had them set up all over the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one must have been in a different room than we were working.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah, definitely. And so that makes it a little bit harder, but it's interesting nonetheless. So
now, what I was going to say is, I have no doubt by listening to these that there was something there other than, you know, human occupants, but something just doesn't convince me that it's Don DeFeo. I mean, it could be some other spirit named Don. Am I right in wondering this?
Yeah, I guess it's possible, but him having this interaction with somebody that he thinks is Don DeFeo is why we feel like. Him to come to us with the claims and then, you know, pick up. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't get a last name, so it's possible. It seems very coincidental for him to say, you know, I think I have, you know, give us the name of Don DeFeo and then pick up the name Don. I mean, it's possible, but, you know, I guess you could really kind of take it either way. Picking up the name plus hearing it with the Long Island accent, which, was how she would have spoken, that kind of narrowed it down for us a little, too.
You know, it sounds like such a young voice.
Yeah.
But then sometimes EVPs come across sounding really high-pitched like that, and they're not necessarily a young voice. That's just sort of the way they come across.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So
how old was she was murdered? She would have been 17. Yeah, so you figure if she's coming back at the age that she was murdered at 17, it's kind of iffy, you know. It could be a child or, you know, a young adult.
Right. So someone in the chat room, Humming, actually wanted to know if perhaps this voice that has occurred repeatedly in these EVPs, if it could be attached to one of you guys, especially if it said, "I love you, Katie."
As far as my home, I don't experience any activity.
Okay.
So, if something was attached to me, it's definitely not making itself known to me. I haven't had any activity like that since then.
Right. You're not like the Katie from Paranormal. Wasn't that her name in Paranormal Activity, was Katie?
That
thing attached to her. I'm so relieved. So before we listen to your other EVPs, I kind of want to change direction here for a few minutes. Okay. And I would like to have you tell me a little bit. We only have about 3 minutes to break, but maybe you can tell me about your experience with Ghost Adventures, other than, you know, that Zach Bagans wears tight shirts and has big biceps.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we actually, you know, we got a phone call asking my father if he, would be interested in authenticating some evidence. And, you know, at first we're like, all right, which one of our friends is playing a practical joke here? And, it kind of just came about. They said, all right, you know, we'd like you to meet us here and, you know, listen to this and listen to that. And I looked at him and I said, don't think you're going, and I'm not going. So, you know, I made him take me along. And, I'll be honest with you, they are such nice guys. They were really great. We had a lot of fun working with them. So much fun, you know, talking and being able to talk about some of their experiences and our experiences. And it's honestly something I'm never going to forget.
Well, and they're very passionate about what they do. I've interviewed them twice now, and they're really fun to talk. Well, actually, I've interviewed Zach twice, and we had Aaron and Nick on once as well. They're so passionate about it, and that's what I enjoy about them, and I think that's what makes them entertaining.
Yeah, they really are. You can when they're talking about it, you can see it in their face how much they love it. You really can, and it really was great. It's nice to be able to, I think our group were kind of the same way. We're very, very passionate about what we do, and it's nice to be able to sit and talk with people who feel the same way.
What was the show that you guys wound up on, or that your dad wound up on?
It was the episode of Castillo de San Marcos.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I was having to work my way through. So I have another question from the chat room. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
They want to know if you saw Zach's hair gel supply and if there was a lot.
No, I didn't get to see his hair gel supply, and I wasn't there, so.
What a great experience to have. You know, I think it would be interesting to investigate with him. I don't investigate the way that they do, but it might be interesting to see it in action.
I agree. I think, you know, out of, like, all the people, you know, all the groups out there who are, you know, nationally known, they're definitely at the top of my list who I would want to work with.
Yeah, and they're very, very entertaining. And that's one of the things that I like about them is that they took what's kind of become this dry formula and made it entertaining. So I really like it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I like about it, too. Also, what my wife and I, we love about the show is that they do, you know, they go over evidence right then and there rather right. than make everybody wait until the end of the program. I really like that.
Yeah, it kind of, you know, instead of having to sit there and watch it all, you know, and not know what's going on and then wait till the end, you're kind of seeing it as it's happening. I think it makes the entire show more exciting versus, you know, waiting till the end to see. That's what everybody wants to see, the evidence.
Right.
Yeah, you know, my husband laughs at because I've watched every Ghost Adventures, I'm not going to lie, and because I'm so darn entertained by it, and my husband laughs all the time because he thinks that on every single episode, Zach Bagans says, "They're going to drag us straight to hell!" Oh, anyway, we need to go to break for top of the hour. You guys going to stick around for another segment? We'll listen to some more EVPs and maybe take a few questions from the chat room. How's that sound?
That sounds good. That sounds great.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. We're going to break. We'll be back in just a few, guys.
Everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
This is Karen Frazier, founder of the Namaste Project. Several months ago, I was really struggling with a number of people in my life. I got tired of being angry all of the time. One day I was driving home thinking about how I could stop being angry when the words, "The Namaste Project," popped into my head. In that moment, I understood that every person, even the ones who made me angry, had a light of the divine in them, and if I could just find that light in every person I encountered, then my world would be a better place. The Namaste Project was born. Now I'm inviting you to join me. Visit namasteproject.org to learn how you can change your world. Change happens one person at a time. I hope you'll join me. That's namasteproject.org.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
And we're back. So the music that you heard before the station ID was Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech, and it was called Iron Horse, which was a lot of fun. So if you're just joining us, we're talking with Kathy and Katie Christopher from NEPA Paranormal. And guys, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, welcome.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's fun. Hey, so we have a question from the chat room, and I know that you weren't there for the actual filming of the investigation, but you might be able to shed some light. One of the people in the chat room, Jamie, wants to know if when Ghost Adventures films, is it really just them with no other crew?
Again, you know, we weren't involved in the investigation, but when we filmed, you know, our segment where, you know, with the authenticating of the evidence and everything, they had no film crews there. They did their own filming. I mean, you know, they adjusted the lighting themselves. We had, you know, tried to get the lighting right. I mean, we were like, you know, tipping lampshades and stuff. So, I mean, they really seem like, you know, that's something they do a lot. And, you know, but within talking with them, you know, they mentioned that they do their own filming. So I say definitely. I don't think they have any crews with them. I think it's just the three of them.
Yeah, that's the sense that I've always gotten as well.
Yeah, I have
a lot of respect for that, too. I really do, that they do, you know, that's one thing I really do respect for about them. They put so much more into it because they're doing all of their own filming and all of their own editing and everything. It just kind of takes what they do to a whole new level.
Well, the other thing that it does that would be essential for me if I were to do a show like that is it gives them creative control. You know, so I'm definitely a creative control freak. Ask anybody who's ever worked with me, and they'll
right.
tell you.
It's just kind of see how much of themselves they put into it.
Yeah, that's great. That's and it comes through in the end product. And
yeah,
so
it really does. I have so much respect for them, guys. I really do.
Yeah, it really comes across that these guys are really guys who, you know, they care about this field and, you know, they're looking for the best possible evidence as well as, you know, entertaining the masses.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So let's get back to you guys. We're done talking about the Ghost Adventures guys now because, you know, you guys are here so that we can talk about you. But thank you for telling us about your experience with them because I know people are really curious about them.
No problem. I really enjoy talking about it.
Yeah. It sounds like it was a fun experience.
It was.
So, let's talk about your team a little bit and the way that you guys investigate and your philosophy. What can you tell me about all that?
I mean, as far as our team goes, you know, we're all very close. You know, I have my mother and my father in the group, and, you know, everyone else is either very, very close friends of the family or relatives. So, you know, to begin with, we're all very close. And, you know,
oh, my God, my family wouldn't do that with me. Go on.
No, you know, honestly, that makes it so much better for me. It's, you know, I always grew up in a really close, tight-knit family, and it's nice to, you know, have something like that that we're all very, you know, passionate about. It just really brings the family closer.
Yeah, definitely. So what is your philosophy how do you approach these investigations?
I mean, obviously, you know, scientifically first, we're very, you know, working with the equipment and, you know, things of that nature. We do like, you know, some of the newer equipment out there, we do like to work with and, you know, see how that goes. But
let's talk about what's some of the equipment that you guys like to use or that you've had some success with.
Well, I mean, obviously the EVPs, we do get, you know, EVPs are great. You know, we use the IR cameras and whatnot. We also use, we had some interesting experiences with the Ovilus.
Really?
Yes, we actually, we did an episode for Animal Planet's show, The Haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we investigated an old mafia bar, which was
cool.
A really neat investigation. There was actually a mob shooting there, and one of the gangsters died.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that the place is haunted by his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was doing some work in the basement with the Ovilus, and he was trying to bring the guy out, and he was, you know, starting to use some of the old mafia terms that they really, you know, things you just didn't say to a mobster, you know, like, you know, did you, were you a rat, and this and that and the other thing, and he actually got shocked by the Ovilus.
Oh, I did. I saw that.
Really?
Episode.
Yes, which was weird because it runs off of a battery.
Well, if you touch your tongue to the battery, I suppose, or something. But
yeah,
it didn't say a word. It shocked him.
Right. When that happened, we actually contacted the manufacturer of the Ovilus, and he ran every test imaginable that he could on that piece of equipment, and he said there was no way he could recreate that jolt.
Right. Now, the obelisk is a digital dowsing device from Bill Chappell, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And it has a database of words in it?
Yeah. The one we were using had, I believe it's 400.
Okay. Yeah.
We actually got some other neat evidence with that. At the same investigation, I said, you know, the mafia guy was shot and killed, and he was in a phone booth right above a set of stairs, and he fell down the stairs and died in the basement. And the obelisk said whacked and stairs. And what was really neat was the word whacked isn't in the dictionary. But
whacked is a good word.
Yeah. Plus, when you hear whacked, like, that's a mafia term. You know what I mean? Like, you don't say, if I said somebody was killed, I'd say they were murdered or they were shot, but you don't say whacked.
Do you suppose that mobsters actually say whacked?
I'm sorry?
I said, do you suppose that mobsters actually say whacked?
Well, you know, I mean, I think, like, you know, when they were going to put a hit on somebody, that's what you did. You whacked them.
Yeah, true. That's really cool. We have something from Digital Dowsing, too. It's not the obelisk. What we have is actually a talker box that he used to sell that's as a kit. And instead of having words in it, it has sounds. It has allophones like ah, ee, ooh. My husband says it sounds like if you push Stephen Hawking down a chair or down the stairs. It's sound.
Okay, yeah. Actually, the obelisk has a setting like that. It's called phonetic mode.
Okay.
And it has like weird syllables in it. And we haven't worked a whole lot with it. Mm-hmm. Mostly we work with, like, you know, the dictionary that it has, but I'm pretty sure the obelisk has a setting like that.
Yeah, and we actually, I've only used it very seldom because I don't know if the obelisk does this, but the talker box is very aptly named. It talks constantly. So it drives
never
you nuts.
Never shuts up.
Yeah, right. Like me. I just can't have that. Because, you know, I'm the one who talks. But so we haven't used it a lot, but we actually got something out of it one time. My son said, "Are you Italian?" And it said, "Not Italian," which I thought was really awesome.
Oh, wow.
Because it came from just these syllables and it formed them all
together.
Yeah,
that's really great.
Yeah, definitely. So, so you use the obelisk and you use recorders clearly. And what else do you guys use when you investigate?
We use the EMF meters, we use the digital thermometers, we use the K2 meter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we use the cameras, you know, the handheld cameras, the infrared cameras. We actually just ordered a full spectrum camera, so we're really looking forward to working with.
Nice.
Cool. That'll be fun. Yeah. It's fun to play with the toys, but, you know, my belief is that what you really need when you investigate is yourself.
Yeah.
And a recorder.
Your brain.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite piece of equipment is the EVP recorders. I know they're like the most basic piece of equipment, but
that's where you get most.
You know, you get really good results. Totally. You know, when you get that EVP, that's just so good. It really, other than, like, catching an apparition on video, an EVP is one of the best things you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. Definitely.
I definitely prefer EVP over anything. That's definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, although, you know, even with EVPs, I mean, you don't really know what they are. We have theories about what an EVP is, but we don't know. And that's kind of what I like about paranormal investigation is that you don't really know.
Right. Our group is very about, you know, we do a lot of, you know, local residences and different things, and, you know, we're very about, you know, helping the client. That's kind of like our number one priority.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, as far as like an investigative standpoint, you know, I think that's kind of why we do what we do, because you don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if we keep doing what we're doing, maybe one day we won't have to say that anymore. Maybe one day we will know.
Maybe. I keep hoping. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm okay. I'm okay with not knowing.
Yeah, it's. I think it's what makes it fun.
I think so, too. I had a question for you, and it just went flying out of my brain. Oh, well. It must not have been that good of a question, right? So, why don't we listen to a couple of the other EVPs that you sent Cheryl? Would that be okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Cheryl.
Hey, okay, I'm back.
You're Cheryl, you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you, Karen.
See-wow.
I try. Oh, my
See-wow.
God.
See-wow.
Wait, I thought it was something else. It was sparkles
or something
Rick like that.
Oh, well, Rick didn't get to be here for that. So is that what you came up with for her, Rick, was see-wow?
See-wow, yep.
Oh, Rick
Thanks,
missed
Rick.
The whole Jersey Shore question last week. Oh. One of our, we have a speed round, guys, at the end of our show, and we ask questions and people get to answer them. And one of our questions last week was, how would you Jersey Shore Cheryl's name? And Rick, who loves Jersey Shore, had to miss it. So I'm glad that you got to get it in there. I'm so glad. All right.
All right.
Let's listen to some EVPs from CWAB.
Okay, here's the first one, and Kathy and Katie, if you want to just talk a little bit about it beforehand without saying what you think it says at first. It's from the site of the Avondale Mine Disaster. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, we were, the Avondale Mine Disaster, it's a local mine. It's maybe about 10 minutes from our house, and it was a really, really huge mine cave-in. Actually, like 110 miners died in the cave-in. And,
oh, wow.
it got a lot of, press around here and, even beyond around here. It actually paved the way for safer mining laws,
okay,
as far as that went. And there's supposed to be a lot of activity there. So when we caught this particular EVP, we were actually wrapping up the investigation. And, before we were leaving, we were saying, okay, it's, we're getting ready to leave. If there's anything you want to say or if there's anything that you need, you have to say it now. And this is what we picked up.
Okay. It's a quick recording, about 7 seconds, I believe. So here we go.
Okay. All I hear is a whistling. Is that the canary?
No, it's actually the first voice you hear.
Oh, okay, let's do it again then.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask, because it's actually right away, the initial EVP that is on here, but I think I hear something at the end, like I don't know if it's a whisper, but it seems like there's something at the end. So let's play it again, and then maybe you can walk us through what you think this says. There we go.
I need to hear it again. I'm sorry.
One more time?
Okay. Yeah, I actually forgot to pay attention.
Okay, there's a voice right away at the beginning, and you might almost confuse it for someone talking, but it's a little bit different.
It sounds
a little bit different. And then, and then at the end, there's some type of whispering or whispery voice going on. Here we go. Okay.
Am I actually hearing the words get out?
What you're hearing is, the first voice you're hearing, to us, it sounds like a child's voice. If you listen carefully, we actually thought it kind of had like a Welsh accent to it, but it sounds to us like it's saying to guide us home. After that, the sigh that you hear in the talking is my father's voice.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, well, that's an interesting one. All right. Okay, how many more do we have?
After this
I
one, we have
EVPs.
Two more. Do you want me to play the Guide Us Home one more time before we move on?
Yeah, actually, let's, so I can see now if I can, if I'm suggestible. I think I am.
Okay.
actually, what I wonder if it is somebody saying, like, Della's home. That's kind of what it sounds like to me.
I hear it's home, but
it's kind of sing-song in a way, a little bit to me.
Yeah. Hey, home. Maybe that's what it is. Hey, home. Maybe it's street.
Okay. So, yeah.
Oh, it's hot in this room. I'm so sorry. I'm shut off without any air conditioning. I'm probably getting lightheaded. And, if you hear a thud, that'll be what it is.
Oh, dear.
Okay. So,
well, you want me to play the next one?
Okay, so let's move on to the... Yes.
Okay. Okay, this next one is from the West Mountain Sanitarium, and that is an old tuberculosis hospital. So, Katie and Kathy, why don't you tell us a little bit about this EVP?
Okay, is this the roll call? No.
This one...
Oh, okay. She knows what it is
okay.
now.
Okay.
I know. Okay, one of our investigators, Mike, he kind of babbles. Like, instead of asking the same, like, you know, he gets tired of asking the same questions.
It's a very unique way of doing EVP.
Yeah. we were at the one area there, and he started getting very descriptive. You'll hear him, like, were you here? Were you by the pool? Were you by the trees? Blah, blah, blah. And we kind of say that spirits have a sense of humor, too, because you should hear pretty clearly what he's going to, what the EVP is that we get.
Okay, and this recording is about 15 seconds, and I can't remember how far in the EVP comes in. Is it at the end?
It should be right at the end.
Yeah, right at the end. Okay, let's play it.
Is there anybody that likes to go and sit by on the wall by the little pool down on the hillside by the big trees? I don't know if there was trees there when you were there, but...
There it is.
Shut up.
That's our classic. I mean, wherever we go, we have to play that one because
so funny.
Yeah, and he just has a tendency, like, you know, by the pool, by the tree. I don't know if the tree was there.
And it was like he was just going on and on and on, and it was like, all right, enough already.
That's actually a very cool EVP. Have you guys ever had anybody? Have you ever guys had an EVP where somebody's swearing at you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Those are the best.
We kind of have a file in the computer where we keep them. We don't like to put them up on the website because I know kids like to go to our website and check it out. So there's a file on the computer of EVPs that aren't very nice.
One of my favorite EVP captures ever is this just evil demonic voice saying, "You suck." It's the best EVP ever. I love it.
Oh man.
Yeah, best EVP.
The EVP that we played prior from the Avondale site, that's where we got some of our most profane EVPs.
I'm sure. Well, you know, I figured the "you suck" guy was probably because the question that I'd asked before it was, "What is your name?" And I'm sure they're so sick of answering that question that, you know, you
exactly.
suck. So they want us to play it again in the chat room. Play it again.
Here it comes.
Is there anybody that likes to go and sit by on the wall by the little pool down on the hillside by the big trees? I don't know if there was trees there when you were there, but...
Shut up!
Very cool.
Yeah, we like that one.
So, Rick, I would assume you get sworn at a lot in EVPs?
Yeah, I've been, you know... pissing the spirit world off since about 1982. So, yeah, one of the most interesting EVPs I've ever got was where I was asking the question, what interest could you possibly have in the boy? And a little bit of background, the spirit that was haunting, or not really haunting, but, you know, hanging out in this house was bothering the little boy. So upon, you know, going back and listening to it, you can clearly hear, my wife also heard this too, where he says, "The boy is special. Get out of my house, you a-hole. Get out of my house now." It's so clear.
Wow.
And it's
awesome. You should email me that one, Rick.
If I learn how to do it, yeah, I might just do that.
Because we can put it on our evidence of the week.
You know what? It's an MCPRG thing, so I'm not allowed to share that.
It's okay. It's all right. I'll be okay. All right. So, we have another one. Yes. Yes.
We have one more, and this one is a quick recording. It's from the Cliff Park Inn. So, Katie, will you tell us about this?
Sure. The Cliff Park Inn, it's an inn that's about an hour away from us, and we were doing our investigating there, and we, you know, put some recorders in the rooms that were said to have the most activity, and, you know, the room that we picked up this EVP, and no one was in at the time, and to us it sounds like, you know, definitely someone younger.
Okay.
And we weren't really sure what the connection was, and when we went back and did the reveal, you know, we said we picked this up here, and she says, "Oh, well, I don't know if I told you this before, but that was the old children's wing." So we thought that was cool.
Wow.
Cool. Okay.
Okay, let's play it. So no one was there in the room, and that's what you recorded. Interesting.
That was really clear. I'd like to hear it again because I'm not sure.
Room six. Room six.
I hear two separate voices.
Broomstick and something steak.
Yeah.
That's what we hear, too. We have played that over and over and over again. And to me, I still hear we're eating steaks, but nobody agrees with me.
It sounds like actually possibly two different voices.
It does.
We're playing the game, like, you know,
I say broom, you say stick. I'll say this, you say that.
So like a free association game.
Your mind, you know?
Huh. I want to listen to it again, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'll play it again.
Please?
I feel like I'm hearing a little girl and then a little boy answer, but...
Yeah, it sounds like two different voices.
Yeah,
here, let's play definitely.
Broomsticks.
Hmm.
Yeah, I definitely hear...
Somebody in the chat room said, who stinks?
Oh. Oh.
No, I
just saying real steaks, but that doesn't... I still hear we're eating steaks, but nobody knows. Nobody knows that at all.
I definitely hear broomstick, though. I definitely hear that.
Yeah, the broomsticks and something steaks.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's an interesting
that kind of, you know, when we found that one, I'm like, okay, you know, it had to have been somebody, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't even remotely sound like any of our investigators.
No, that's
and
not.
I know there was no, you know, we had the inn to ourselves that night, so nobody was staying there, and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. This is really cool. And if it was one of our investigators, I have no clue how they came up with broomsticks and something else. I don't know.
Yeah, well... But that's the kind of EVP that when you hear it, you actually think, no.
Exactly. That was my exact reaction. Like, there's no way. There's just no way.
No, yeah. I know. And yeah, those are the awesome ones. Once you
it's loud and, you know, pretty much clear.
Yeah. Now, do you guys have walkie-talkies with you?
Actually, at that point, we didn't. We went through some technical difficulties with our walkie-talkies where they were doing really weird things. So for a while there, we weren't using them. And, you know, we just kind of say, like, okay, you know, we'll go this long and, you know, we'll meet back up at base. You know, if you're getting a lot of activity, just stay where you are. So, you know, even walkie-talkies wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. So, guys, we just have a few minutes left. And so I wanted to, we're going to be profiling you in an upcoming issue, I know, and we're looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun to read more about you.
Definitely.
But I wanted you to have the opportunity to tell our listeners anything that you wanted to tell them within reason. And also share any websites. Is there a place where people can go and look at your evidence and listen to your EVPs and read all about you?
Yeah, definitely. Our website is www.nepaparanormal.com.
Okay. And do you have EVPs on your site, right?
Yes. Any of our, you know, better evidence is all up on the site.
Very cool. So
very cool.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Will you come back again when you've got something more to share?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. We had so much fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And hey, guys who are listening, when we come back, we will be talking with Bert Coates of Northwest Paranormal Investigation Agency.
Hey, Bert.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at Paranormal UG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
And we're back. The song was... Oh, yes. Cheryl, was there something that you wanted?
Nope, that was not. Rick, wasn't it?
I think that was me. I was just going to say, that's Dark Times by Kevin MacLeod. But,
okay. There you go. Oh, well, Rick, I'm so sorry that I thought you sounded like Cheryl.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Sorry about that. Well, it was hard to get from the... So, we are back. Clearly, and we have with us Bert Coates of Northwest Paranormal Investigation Agency. Bert is a good friend of mine, and we actually investigate with Bert a lot. He's sort of a semi-regular on our show, and we're happy to have him with us. Hey, Bert.
Hey, hey Bert.
How are you?
Good.
Good. So we have been doing some musical experiments up at Wellington, and you are here to talk about them.
That's right. And actually, it's not really my theory, but I think you and Jamie had... talked about some of the things to create activity or to kind of exercise the activity. But one of them was music. And we had tried recently an iPod with a boombox. And, you know, that brought out some of the ghostly activities up at Wellington. But I think what really sparked a lot of interest was the music that you had played. What was it that you were playing? Flute?
It was a recorder. It was just a little wood recorder.
That's right. And I think that the ghosts really do react to that better than if you were to play something over an iPod. And I think the reason why is because, and like I said, this is Jamie's and your guys' theory, but you're putting emotion into the song that you're created, or that you have created. And one of the things, it'd be like listening to a radio station, you would hear your favorite song. And then going to the concert, it's two different things, and there's quite a emotional attachment to it. So, I think that whenever you can play an instrument in an investigation, which is of course a lot better than just an iPod.
Well, let me ask you this, Bert: do you think it's a possibility because it could have something to do with that? It's more organic.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and I would like to point out that what we did with both, because I wanted to try and create somewhat of a control with it, is that the Wellington was a town that was around in the late 1800s and early 1900s up until about 1929 is when Wellington went away as a town. And so I've tried very hard to make sure that all of the music that I've played up there, both on my iPod and on the little recorder, is organic to that time period as well.
That's right. And I think, you know, as far as investigating up there and pretty much anywhere, you really have to capture their attention. Instead of just kind of, you know, doing the standard EVP session, what's your name? You know, how old are you?
Right.
Sounding like a drill sergeant, which nobody really wants to be around.
Right.
It's kind of boring anyways, always doing that.
Yeah, they answer that question a lot or hear it a lot, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. It would start to bug me after a while, and I probably would leave.
You know, yeah, me too.
But I think if you entertained them or entertained the idea of entertaining them, you could get, you know, a much farther. And I think people get stuck on that whole mentality of everybody else so we need to investigate that way. Don't. You know, get out there and really kind of explore the unknown, because all of it's unknown, and try different ideas.
Yeah.
Different thoughts. Jamie comes up with a lot of them.
Yeah.
Lighting, music, what else? The ghost wand.
Yeah, the ghost wand.
The ghost wand.
They have NWPIA has on their website a really funny video about the ghost wand, and it's also on their YouTube. It's NWPIA.com. And is it right there on your front page still, Bert?
Yep.
It's a really entertaining video, and especially if you want to see Bert in his underwear and a Paranormal Underground t-shirt. I highly recommend. I know Rick's there. Rick's watching it now.
So when you see me in my underwear, Rick, what do you think?
Bert? I'll let you know.
Okay. Email me.
Yeah.
You
so I wanted to add a little bit to the music thing, because the other thing that I think as a musician, and when we come up this weekend, Tanner's going to bring a saxophone and I'm going to bring my flute, which is actually my instrument, not the recorder. The recorder was just sort of a, you know, easy to carry, wasn't going to worry about it breaking kind of thing. But one of the things I think as a musician is that when I play music, it's as opposed to listening to music or playing it through an iPod, it comes out of my brain. It's creates some kind of a brainwave. Music actually changes your brain.
Yes.
And so when I'm performing music, even when I'm playing up at Wellington on something that's not my main instrument, but just sort of a little thing I learned to play when I was in the third grade kind of thing, it's in my head. I have to think about it as I play it. And if communications with a spirit are indeed telepathic communications, then I wonder if that's what they react to, is that I'm playing that music in my head as opposed to the actual physical mechanism of the music being played aloud. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think music is universal. I mean, you don't have to have a special language. You don't have to go to a special school to learn it. It's been around for a long period of time. I think we were pounding on rocks and with sticks to communicate with each other a long time ago. So I think that music, we may have something with live music up there. I'm not saying to go to an investigation and bring the band with you. I'm just saying, you know, I think that what you're creating is giving off that mood or that environment for them to feel.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, here's the thing is that I didn't choose the music that I've brought up there lightly. Like I say, I did a lot of research, like hours of research, to come up with music. And a lot of it is stuff that I wouldn't necessarily have chosen for myself because I'm not a religious person, for instance, and we played hymns. But back in around the turn of the century, my guess is that everyone or most people were fairly religious, so we played hymns. And I know another member of your team has also come up with a harmonica. And why don't you talk about the experience the night Timmy was playing the harmonica, Bert?
Now, that was really interesting because here's a kid that swears up and down that he's hardly ever touched a musical instrument, and he whips out this harmonica, and bam, lo and behold, we start hearing this incredible music come out of it. And, you know, it was cool because as he was playing it, we had that ghost that we call No Face come out and had a, I guess Jamie had an experience with No Face. I have yet to have an experience with No Face. But it seems like whenever we play music up there, that's what, grabs their attention. And he seems to come out when that happens.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to doing some more experiments up there now. And did you guys do some experiments with music up there this past weekend?
I don't think we did.
Okay. All right. I thought maybe you did. So what'll be really interesting is Tanner with the saxophone, because of course the flute is, Tanner's my son. The flute is something that was around back then and very common, but what Tanner plays is jazz saxophone. So what he's going to play is nothing related to the time period, and we'll see if that has still the same type of effect as playing the stuff from the period.
Yeah, right. That would be really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Chad said he is 51 and it's 61, Chad.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Get it right. It's area 61.
Yeah.
Jamie's got it covered.
Yeah, she does. But yeah, music is really kind of, it seems to be something that's they're reacting to. We thought maybe it was the lighting, you know, like we had the laser lights going for a while, the ravers. And, you know, that was really cool, but it also makes you sick when you move them up and down, doesn't it, Karen?
Oh, my God, no, it was fun. Are you kidding me? When you had, they have this laser grid that they bring in there. And just a real quick description of what Wellington is, and you know, because I'm assuming that anybody listening knows, and they may not. Wellington has this big, huge concrete snow shed that is open on one side and into the hill on the other side. And how high would you say the ceiling is to that thing, Bert?
Oh, geez, I think, 20 feet?
Yeah, it's up there. And so it's this great big huge massive structure, and Bert and Jamie brought in a laser grid. Like a laser grid light from Spencer Gifts, is that right?
Yeah, I think it was Spencer's.
Spencer Gifts.
Yeah, it was Spencer's.
Yeah, and so they brought in this laser grid and started shining it through the snow shed. And they had Tanner put on this white painter suit. Tanner is my son, and dance in it. It was so cool.
It was pretty cool.
It was like a rave.
It was, and whenever those beams were broken, you know, you would get a 3D image of whatever broke those beams, those green laser beams, which was really kind of cool. But it was just trippy.
Well, do you think that is it something that you're going to experiment with more?
Yeah, I think so. I think if we added music with the laser lights,
if
anything, it would get us all start dancing. You know,
I was going to say if we added music and ecstasy.
Oh, there you go.
Woohoo! But tell everybody, Bert, about the night that you were down in the snow shed playing with the laser grid and somebody started to walk down the snow shed unaware that you were there.
Oh, that's right. We had somebody come up from a different state, and I can't remember what state that was, but they had come up on a whim. They were vacationing here in Washington, and they drove up because they kind of heard about it, and it were two women, and one was about 18 years old that had pretty much had, you know, she was scared. And as they entered the snow shed, we had those green laser lights hitting the side of the wall, and it freaked her out so bad that she took off running. But it was kind of funny.
Yeah, you were about a quarter mile down, right? I mean, you weren't at the start of the snow shed, so what they saw were just some kind of really odd green lights.
That's right. And I think they had watched a TV show the night before about aliens and green lights, so that was worse. But they're from Georgia. They saw the van out there. Of course, it has NWPIA all over the place. So they contacted us through email, and we took them up the next night on a tour and explained to them. Because we ran after them to catch them, because a lot of people kind of venture through there, and we don't want to scare them. But I think, we were running towards them, and that probably freaked them out even more, so they took off.
Yeah. Hey, are you guys going to go up there tonight? You know, it's my favorite night of the year.
It is. What's tonight?
The Perseids tonight.
Oh, no. You know what? I have a job interview tomorrow at 11.
Oh, shoot. Well, because I bet you up in the mountains with no light pollution, that meteor shower would just be what did you call it earlier? The shiz, what was it, Rick?
The shiznia-doos-it.
That's it. The shiznia-doos-it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll go up there for a little while.
Yeah.
Still about 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I got to go to bed. But.
Yeah, well, good luck on your job interview tomorrow.
Thanks.
Good luck, Bert.
Yeah, you know, it's been fun being unemployed, but I think I've nailed this one.
Yeah, it's time. Oh, it's the one you were telling me about then.
Yeah.
Good. Are you guys ready to do the lightning round?
Yes.
Oh, I was born ready.
You were born ready. Cheryl.
I was born ready.
Hey, are you on a speaker that Jamie could do the lightning round too, Bert?
Yes, we are.
Jamie, you want to do the lightning round too?
She has her headphones on, so I got to smack her chair.
Oh. Hang on.
You want to do the lightning round with him? And me.
Jamie, we heard that.
You know what? I'll since I've done it twice, I'll coach you through it.
You can both do it. That's right. So, okay. Are you guys ready? Here we go. The rules with the lightning round are there are no rules. One or two sentence answers. I guess that's kind of a rule, huh? Okay. Here we go. Ready?
Right.
All right. So an article in the September 2010 Discover magazine says that since the time of early humans, our brains have shrunk by about the size of a tennis ball. Now, there are a number of theories about this, including that our brains are now more efficient and therefore require less space. And then the other main theory is that we are getting dumber and, in fact, are probably dumber than Cro-Magnon men. So we'll start with Bert. Any theories, Bert?
You know what? Jamie keeps telling me my mind's shrinking every day. And anyone that knows me, nah, I'm kidding. you know, they may have a good point, but ugly chocolate.
Jamie, what do you think? Are we getting dumber? Are we getting more efficient or something else?
I will definitely take dumb for $200.
All right. Rick.
Reality TV is evidence of the fact that, yes, we are getting stupider.
This is so uplifting. Cheryl.
Well, Karen, I actually do feel dumber than Cro-Magnon Man oftentimes, but I actually think that I'm going to go along with the whole streamlined brain theory.
Okay. All right. So in our forum recently, we've been having some discussions about the Chilbolton crop circles and the Arecibo message. And Jamie, you didn't get a chance to prepare for this, so you can decline if you want, or you can answer. It's up to you. There's one of the crop circles that's of particular interest. And what it is that it's almost exactly the same message that we sent out in the SETI array with a few minor differences. We sent out something with our DNA strand in it, and it came back with a changed DNA strand. We sent a picture of a human, and they sent back a picture of sort of a different bipedal kind of creature. We sent back a message showing which planet we were from the sun, from our sun, and they sent back a different planet. So it was almost the same with a few key differences. So I'm wondering what you think of these formations, Bert.
You know, I'm going to revert back to the first question about my brain shrinking smaller.
Because, okay.
Yeah. chocolate.
Chocolate, Jamie.
So what exactly is the question?
what do you think? Do you think these are coming from aliens?
You know, I did watch the movie Signs, and it was probably one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. So it's possible.
Okay. Rick?
I don't buy the alien thing at all. I mean, primitive would they have to be to show up,
you know,
show us that kind of thing in crops. There's just no way.
Okay. All right, Cheryl.
Oh, there is a way. Yes, there is a way, Rick.
Cheryl's such a believer.
The force.
Hey. Okay, here's the thing. I think that I don't really know if these are from aliens or not, but I do find it compelling that there were direct changes to this message that Carl Sagan composed in 1974 and then was sent out into space by NASA, in that they were basically answering about what they're like, where they're from, in detail. And sure, it could be definitely made by humans, but maybe not.
Okay. All right. So numerous studies recently have found that being prayed for does have some effect on the health of the person being prayed for. Do you think that there's a causal link? Do you think that it's prayer, or do you think that it's something else, Bert?
I think it's something else. Now, here's something that I really feel strongly on. I don't think it's prayer, but I think that your own human mind can fix a lot of things. And as long as you believe, I think it's possible that you could cure your own problems, whatever problem that is.
You're a power of the mind kind of guy.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody should pray for me.
Okay. All right. Jamie, what do you think?
I'm praying for Bert.
Somebody should.
I'm with Bert on this one. Mind over matter.
Okay, Rick.
I gotta definitely go with Bert.
Okay, Cheryl.
Yeah, I think it's really more along the lines of positive thinking. I don't know. Prayer, is that positive thinking? Maybe, but I think that the mind can do a lot of things, and positivity can definitely impact health.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So I recently noticed on Facebook that it has become a hotbed of activism, and I'm putting air quotes around activism, and I'll tell you why. You can find pages on Facebook for just about any cause, including a number of paranormal causes. So here's what I want to know. As far as activism goes, do you think that clicking like is quite literally the least that you can do? Have we become so lazy and apathetic that we think that clicking like on Facebook is actually activism? Bert?
You remember back in the 60s? No.
No.
No, me either. But, you know, if you were really believed in something, you went out and did something about it. You didn't click a button.
Right.
So I would have to say that we've become so lazy to click the button. And you know what? Half the time, I forget about the buttons I've clicked. So,
yeah.
You know, if you really believe in something, go out there and you know, protest.
Yeah.
What was that LSD saying? Drop LSD and love and never mind.
But hugs, not drugs. No way. That's later. Jamie, what do you think?
I'm going to refer back to our brains being pea size, and that's
that's why we click like.
It's easy. It's fast. It's quick. You're done.
Right, Rick.
Well, as a bleeding heart liberal that I definitely am, I would say, yeah, that's laziness. Dr. King would have looked at us in this generation and would have been like, you need to get your asses out there and make a difference.
Nice job.
Yeah. Cheryl.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a time saver, but the unfortunate thing is that savings is sucked away by Frontierville. Nobody knows what Frontierville is, do they?
So,
it's a Facebook app.
Is it like Farmville?
Yeah, it's Farmville.
I don't play any Facebook games, and I'd like to keep it that way. I also very seldom click like on anything on Facebook unless it's like the Paranormal Underground Facebook page. In which we keep you updated through our social networking about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Can you tell I used to be in marketing? All right. So on Friday, my wonderful husband, Techie McScience Geek, was involved in a really strange automobile accident. Here's what happened. He was sitting stopped behind another driver at an intersection waiting to turn. There was a car in front of him. And a student driver who was making a left turn went around the car in front of him and hit him. Just simply forgot to stop steering out of her turn. The circumstances were so odd that it almost seemed like he was fated to be in that accident. My question with that long lead up is this. Do you believe in predetermination, Bert?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I think there's maybe a little merit to that whole groovy thing.
Okay.
But, I mean, look what happened when we met you. You know, the outcome wasn't so... Well, the outcome was great, but unfortunately the events leading to the outcome weren't so great. But there was a reason that I think we met you and you and Jim and the kids. So I don't
know. Right.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Jamie, what do you think?
Yes, I believe that. I think that everything happens for a reason. I mean, we may not know it at that moment, but... I believe that later on you do figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Rick, what do you think?
I'm torn. I'm torn between being the captain of my own destiny or having the cosmic prankster pull some stuff on me. I really don't know yet. I'm on the fence.
Okay. All right, Cheryl, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that predetermination is a part of everyone's life, and I don't think that it's the only part, but it's there.
Okay. All right, so last question. On Tuesday, police in Buffalo, New York, arrested a 51-year-old man on charges of animal cruelty. Here's what happened. They looked into his trunk, and they found a live cat in a cage, and the cat was covered in oil and peppers to marinate. So, recently, we've been adopted by a stray cat, and here's what I wanted to know. What are your favorite cat marinade flavors, Bert?
You know, that's just wrong. Because we have four new kittens, and that'd be like eating a baby lamb.
Oh, well, I eat lamb.
Yeah, little shish kebab kittens.
Kitty kebabs. Jamie, cat marinade flavors. You got any recommendations?
Only for cougars, and that would be maybe a SIG 40 or an XD.
a little lead marinade, huh?
Exactly.
Rick.
I'm an animal lover. I'm out.
Cheryl.
I'm sad to say it didn't take me even a second to have an answer to this one. Definitely pineapple and mushroom.
Oh. That is so wrong in so many ways.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Bert.
Well, here's my disclaimer, guys. We will not be marinating the kitty that has adopted us.
Animals were hurt in the making of this program.
That's right. That was nobody, and I don't recommend it for anyone else. No marinating cats, people. You hear me? All right.
All right. All right.
Cat marinade is for entertainment purposes only. All right. So
mushroom. Ugh.
I know what Cheryl likes for pizza. Bleh. Okay, so Bert and Jamie, thank you so much for joining us for the lightning round. And Bert, thanks for sharing your theories. I really appreciate it.
Sure, not a problem.
Okay, so guys, next week, who do we have on tap?
We have Bill Murphy from the new television show on Sci-Fi Channel, Fact or Fake, The Paranormal Files. I got to give my personal endorsement for this show. This is the only other show that I will actually DVR. I love this show.
Right, and Thursday is actually the season finale, right?
Yes.
It is, yeah.
And he's coming on to the show, and we're going to have a little different format because he's coming on to the show a little early because he wants to be able to watch the season finale. And he usually doesn't make appearances on show night, and he made an exception for us. So yay to Cheryl for wrangling that one.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Everybody, please be here at the top of the hour because we'll be able to talk to Bill for about 50 minutes, and then he needs to go and watch the season finale, and everybody listening can listen and watch at the same time.
Very cool. Okay, so, hey, are any of you guys going to go out and watch the Perseids tonight? I know Bert has a job interview, but...
No, I'm not planning on it.
Oh, I gotta yay, work. Jamie! Well, I am. I'm leaving here as soon as we're done here in a minute or so. I'm leaving here and going to a little old lady hot tub party. Okay, a middle-aged lady hot tub party where we're going to sit in the hot tub, drink wine, and hopefully we'll see the Perseids, too.
Nice.
A cougar hot tub party.
Cougar hot tub. Oh, God, Jamie's going to show up with her cig.
Marinating in a hot tub.
Maybe I should take the kitty with me and get some mushrooms and peppers.
Oh, kidding.
Yikes.
Kidding.
Throw a zombie in there.
Oh, well, Cheryl's not going to be there.
No. Oh. I wish. Yeah. I'm too far away.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so hope you'll join us next Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 11. Does that make it 11 Eastern? Yes.
Yep.
I can do math.
Where we'll be talking with Bill Murphy and talking about green M&Ms.
That's right, and also we're going to have the Ghost Gadget guy in the second part of the show, right, Cheryl?
Yeah, Michael will join us the second part of the show and talk about some cool things, so check in then.
And I promise that I will not ask any more questions about cooking cats.
Yay! Oh.
Please don't.
All right. All right, everybody, thank you so much. Thanks, Bert and Jamie, for joining us, and we will be back next week. Until then, if you want to read anything, see the new issue of the magazine, paranormalunderground.net.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net. And join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.